But it's awareness.
I have a different approach to that. The awareness is the first step. Coping with the awareness first of all is the second step. Then finding out how you personally can make a difference, and then going out and making that difference.
Absolutely, I think you're absolutely right. No, you're absolutely right, because when you say coping, when I first heard about this GE stuff, I went into a state of shock because I realised it was true, and I literally was in a state of shock. You know, sometimes you know, you think, did I hear that right, or was that a nightmare? Hold on, they're going to approve this Asian Orange corner. Maybe it's not true. Maybe I just dreamt it. And then you realise, oh no, it is. Okay. Whew. And then if you can get with some like-minded people and think, okay, well, we've got to deal with this, guys. And, you know it's not good. Okay, what can we do? But you're right, coping with it. You've got to get your head around it.
You don't necessarily need anybody's help either. That's what I found. It's like if you go off and you start doing something by yourself of your own volition for the greater good, you it's actually very rare to get help when you're starting to do something like that. But once you've already done a whole lot of good by yourself and never needed anybody, then suddenly you start to be in need of help in order to continue it, and that's when the help arrives, not before.
Exactly, but I always have a thing. It's awareness and then it's intention. So you have to be aware of what it is, and you have your intention of what you want to do, and then you plan to do it. But unless you're aware of it, then you just wander around and go and watch the next rugby game and have another beer. And not that I'm against rugby, but I'm just saying, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? You just think, you don't even think about it. You just do anything to distract yourself. But you have to be aware. Then you have the intention, this is what I want, this is what we need to do.
You're right about the distractions there. Did you know that when the Rugby World Cup was happening right in the middle of election season, we had the lowest voter turnout since 1886, when even women's suffrage hadn't happened yet?
That was a very good move by a certain person to ring that around that time.
Hey, you know what? Everybody hates me because I'm messing up the country. I got a good idea. Let's throw a big distraction. Let's do something big. Something that'll cost us $1 billion that we'll never get back, and then tell them it'll benefit the local business community. I know, a massive international sports event where everybody can sell advertising to all these bunch of morons that drink beer and absolutely have nothing to do with their life better than to watch other men in short shorts grapple each other.
Well, you put it very aptly. I think just changing the subject slightly.
Was I harsh with you?
No, I think we've got Will and Kate coming over. There'll be a lot of photo shoots there for the pre-election time or around election time. So
there'll probably be a purge. You know, did you hear about that? What happened in London for the royal wedding? There are a number of protesters and activists and things like that that wanted to try and disrupt things. And the day before it, they were all dawn raided, mate, and all of them were held in the cells the whole day. No, they never committed a crime.
Of course, yeah. Well, as I say, it is about creating distractions, I think. But I think the main thing is to focus on. It's like, for me, there's so many different things you can focus on, but food is...
That's the most basic, you know.
Well, it's the most basic one. And if the food you're eating is poison, and the water you're drinking is poison, and the air you breathe is poison, one of the Native Americans, then you said you're basically, it's game over, you know.
Hey, might I ask, maybe it's a difficult question. Oh, wait, unless you want to finish your point just real quick.
No, go for it.
What's your stance on chemtrails, bro?
I thought you might ask me that. Well, again, it's the same thing. I just think, as I say, I could focus on fluoride or chemtrails or anything. I've chosen the GM, but in essence, as I just said before, the food you eat, the water you drink, the air you breathe, if all or some of them are poison, then your health's going to suffer. Apparently it's a lot worse in Europe, but as I say, it seems to be from all fronts.
Yeah, because that was what I was wondering as well, is if we're going to be doing organic gardening, and in fact, you'll be the first person I've told about this. I was talking with one of these coffee growers out in Vietnam, right? And they're thinking about doing a brand of coffee that is certified chemtrail free. Right.
Is this for real?
For real, right? They're thinking about doing it for the first time ever. They'd be the first company to do it. And what they're going to be doing is they're going to be providing. You know how you got the list of ingredients and what have you. They'll also list the contaminants from chemtrails as well. So if it's not chemtrail free, then they can actually list the contaminants like the barium, the strontium, and all of that. It's just up in the air right now, you know. Because there's the thing, we certify that our coffee has large quantities of aluminium, barium, and strontium. Drink it up, you know. The thing is, people wouldn't want to admit that there's the chemical contamination, but maybe it would actually help to raise the issue. Actually, seeing like a chemtrail kind of thing on the packaging, I don't know.
Can you see why the U.S. government, which equals in the agricultural equals Monsanto, because of course in the U.S. government, the chief guy there in the agriculture happens to be an ex-Monsanto guy. Anyway, can you see why they fight Monsanto in particular and all those other companies? They fight tooth and nail to stop labeling, because if something says was GE, it's like putting a skull and crossbones on it, and it raises awareness. What does it mean, GE or GE-free? Oh, and the same, if you put chemtrail coffee, people say, what's that about? Aluminium, barium, what do we need that for? I mean, I know the fact that aluminium, when you, if that goes on the soil, it acidifies it. I know this because when you get acid rain, the aluminium acidifies the soil. Because aluminium does drop the pH and makes soil more acidic, and it gets to a point where, particularly in Europe, this is before chemtrails with all the acid rain, that a lot of trees would just die off because it locks up elements, but it just acidifies it, makes it very, very acid, and so you might find you can't grow crops, you know. So
my wife is around gardens all the time. It's her business, and almost everybody is having trouble growing their tomatoes, John, in Auckland.
I know that. Well, I just say that's my business, and everyone's saying the same thing. I had the worst tomato season I've ever had. I don't know why.
Who's doing samples, mate? You know, because I'm starting to have an inkling that the soils are already contaminated with thousands upon thousands of times what would normally be allowed under drinking water standards, at least. So I don't have the data to prove it, but I have videoed a number of chemtrails being dropped over the city, and I know that one part per million of aluminium makes water undrinkable.
Yeah, I know aluminium is highly toxic, but I only know from the point of view of the soil. Maybe they'll have to have GM crops that will tolerate, you know, aluminium.
They actually have. Using them in Hawaii right now. All the local plant life is starting to die out, and they're starting to replace them all.
Yeah, well, I mean, often you see this thing, you know. People eat GMO crops, they get sick, so they use more pharmaceuticals. People, I don't know, there might be to build up these toxins, then they come up with a crop. Although, admittedly, most of the crops, the GMO crops, or GE crops, are for sell more herbicides or produce insecticide. When you actually think about it, I mean, not just the herbicide one we've talked about, but the other one, I mean, again, if you just think about it, you've got a plant that produces inside of itself an insecticide. And what the insecticide does is it breaks the stomach or the cell walls of the insect. It effectively shatters it, explodes it. And what they've actually found, this is 98% of... or 90, right up there, of Canadian women with pregnancies have this BT toxin in their fetal blood. So
I thought it was in the what's it called, the cord. It's been measured in the cords as well. And no, in fact, I'm thinking of a different study where they found 260 something trace pesticide herbicide stuff and what have you in the cords of babies.
Yes, that's right. But that's right. The people have got an absolute cocktail of chemicals in them. But the thing was, this is the really hairy thing, is that this BT toxin had gone from the plant, ingested by the mother, into the her blood, and then absorbed into the fetal blood. And so often they'll say this stuff, you know, the company's producing, say, well, it breaks down, it's safe, blah, 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 blah. How do you explain it in the fetal blood of nearly 90-something percent of Canadian mothers? You know what I mean? I mean, how do you explain that?
And well, with a massive gag order lawsuit so that people don't know the truth, that's how.
I know, but you see, again, you know, when they say it's safe, it breaks down, you say, where's the proof? Well, the company says it's safe. Oh, okay, so the company that produces it says it's safe. Where's the studies? Well, you know, we trust them. And in fact, that's what happens here. So our government more or less says, well, you know, FDA says it's safe, and the FDA say, well, Monsanto says it's safe, so it must be safe, you know. And it's the way it goes. So you get this kind of... Whenever you question these various government departments or government inter-country organisations, and you say, "Well, look, where's the, you know, why are you not doing this, or why, where's the research?" They'll say, "Well, we're doing what everyone else does, and therefore it must be right." Or they say over in the States that it's okay, so it must be okay. You say, "Well, where's the evidence?" Well, no, we're just doing what everyone else does, and that must be right.
Yeah, because the majority of people have never been wrong about a generally conceived self-evident truth before, right, you know? Oh, no, man will never fly. No, there's no such thing as light that'll burn all night, you know?
I mean, this whole thing with, for example, the Agent Orange, what I call the Agent Orange soy and corn. Now, they're saying it's perfectly safe. Now, you may have heard the story that there's a product called linamide, and even cigarettes and all sorts of things were declared safe. And then what do we find? So it's just the same old, same old. And what will it take? The same with fluoride.
You know what it's going to take? It's going to take every single person having a personal trauma in their life that is involved with this stuff, and actually having them realize that it's involved with this stuff. You need to traumatize people in order to wake them out of their fuzzy sleep. I think that's really it. We need to go into shock. We need to feel pain and that fear and that sorrow and that depression, because then you realize that there's still some good in this world that's worth fighting for.
I think you're right. The other one is my other approach too. You know, sometimes you almost have to, you know, as I say, like the people in the States with the doctor saying, take it off, and they think, wow, it's gone. Well, I'm going to tell all my friends to get rid of it, not eat this stuff. The other thing is if people do become more aware, now that could be through eating better foods, exercising, doing meditation, whatever, they become more aware, then hopefully they'll see it for what it is. But you're right, maybe it's in many cases for a lot of the public it takes kind of like a TNT explosion to sort of wake them out of it, you know. I don't know, but it's
well, we've gotten too cushy, too frickin' lazy. We're afraid of challenges and everything. We're the sons of a generation that died to protect us from tyrants, and now we sit around and we elect the tyrants ourselves.
Well, I think, see, I look at it this way, and I was thinking about it today. You know, it's probably more honest if you had some enemy turning up in ships at your port, and they wanted to come and take over your country and enslave you and whatever else. I mean, I'm not saying any nationalities, but let's say there was a foreign country, they're coming and invading. In that situation, you would naturally want to fight and resist it, you know, because that's your land, that's your family that they're wanting you taking, and you would have it almost an obligation to do something about it. Now, when you have, in this particular case, it's all done by stealth. You have a so-called elected government doing things which effectively taking of your country or your food, allowing your food supply to be poisoned and so on and so forth. It's just that it's more stealth, but it's no different. And I mean, in essence, we have like an economic invasion where we have these companies coming over here and basically taking over the place and, you know, selling out to them, whether they're Monsanto or whoever. But it is in essence no different to someone turning up with a warship and saying, "I'm going to take you over." It's just that it's more stealth, you know.
You know what this reminds me of? Fabian socialism, which has two symbols of its clan, of its ilk. The first symbol is a tortoise wielding a hammer. The kind of message they're sending you there is they close in on you really, really gradually, and just when they're right on you, wham, down comes that hammer and you're gone. And yeah. Then their other symbol is more commonly known one, a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah. Well, I think what I don't want to happen is, this is my country, you know, I this is my whenua, this is my land, this is where I was brought up, and my, you know, my kids were born, and my parents were born, and so I consider it, you know, this is my land. Well, when I say mine, you know, I don't mean it that I own it. I'm just saying that's
what
I
know. I know what you mean. I mean, you're like a son of the land, whereas some exactly. men are like a son of a sea, and neither of them want to sell out to somebody who's a son of a beach.
No, exactly. And you know, Murray talked about tēnā rangatiratanga or sovereignty. So to me, that's sacred. You don't sell that out. You don't sell your land out and give it away to foreigners. You don't sell out your sovereignty. And so for me, it's kind of like it's just a basic thing that I don't want that to happen. What concerns me is that if we just let it keep going this way and we don't start making changes in terms of what we buy and what we do and grow and so on, that you might get to a point where, hey, what happened? Where did it all go? Who owns the place now? And that's the thing. So it's kind of like, this is this thing of raising the awareness and then deciding that this is what you do want for New Zealand is our own sovereignty, our own land, and so yeah, that's to me, it's really important to
New Zealanders have a saying, and it's three words that you normally hear just before an accident occurs on a work site or something.
She'll be right.
Yep. Sure. Hey, bro, what, isn't it like Agent Orange? Isn't it like an incredibly dangerous chemical that like produces deformities and like fracks everybody up with diseases from A to Z? Ah, she'll be right.
Have another beer. Let's have a look. There's a league on tonight.
Yeah. Hey, mate, did you see the results of the Bathurst?
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, it is... It's something that, in a way, it's some kind of almost an endearing feature of Kiwis. We do have that laid back, you know, kind of thing. But it could be to our detriment if people think, well, these guys are sheep. They'll walk all over. You know, we're easy to walk over. But that's my concern. Is they'll say, hey, what happened? Where did our country go? Whoops, who owns it now? Too late. So. Yeah, it is important, I think, to get it out there. I mean, just getting back to the food thing, because that's, I think, is if you good thing about New Zealand at the moment is if you buy stuff that's grown in New Zealand, fruit, vegetables, it's GMO free. If you're buying, most fruit and vegetables are not GM produced. It's mainly those ones I mentioned, corn, cotton, soya, was it corn and canola. But where you get canola oil, you get soya oil, you get soya lecithin. So if those products are in the food label, they, especially if it comes from overseas, it's most, or even if it's imported, it's most likely to have GE in it. Also animal feeds, a lot of animal feeds have GMOs in it. So that's the other thing. You might be eating chicken, you think it's, you know, it's been fed GMO feed, so that could also be the case. So,
well, on the point of GMO feed and what have you, I think it comes to the point where it's even if you think something's organic, it's not even organic anymore, right? Like, I think even under FDA approval, you can have like up to 10% contamination and still call it organic.
I think they're trying to do that. They're also trying to weaken all the labeling laws. They're trying to weaken that. So there is over there, but here, you know, if it's organic or Biogro or Demeter, it needs to be GMO free. But you see, the thing is, the basic thing is, so you've got the animal feed, that's, if it's imported, it's soy, it's got soy in it and corn, then it's going to have GMO in it. So the animals you're eating will have that, some of those genetic contamination in the food. Unless, of course, they feed it organic, you know, food. So that's the thing, that's the important thing.
It's expensive enough to buy organic food for yourself, let alone feed a cow with it.
I know, exactly. I mean, the good old days, they just fed them grass, I think. Well, you know, and then they fed them palm oil stuff. Anyway, that's another story. But anyway, so the thing is, if you're in the shops now, this is kind of important. If you, my there's an old story, I think it's the grandmothers would have said, I just heard a saying that if it only eat it if it goes off in a few days. In other words, food should be fresh. If it's like those McDonald's burgers, you know, there was Sue Kedgley had one she had in her laundry for 18 months and it was completely unchanged. Now, there's something wrong with that. If a food looks exactly the same for 18 months, don't eat it. So,
well, the animals and bacteria won't eat it. And this is the point. This is the point about GMO. Okay, people have left out organic corn cobs and GMO corn cobs. Guess which one the rats don't touch? Guess which one the bugs don't touch? Okay. Animals don't eat it. We animals, do.
Animals are intelligent. I've heard stories of cows literally smashing down fences to get to organic stuff, and they refuse to touch this other stuff. They literally smash down the fences because they're not stupid. You know, they intuitively know this stuff is going to poison them. So they animals are, you know, they're still in tune with nature. They know.
Yeah.
We've got so out of touch with nature, and once you get, you know, you start eating all this poisonous food, it throws your whole sensitivity out and you don't notice things. But if you go into a supermarket, even if you're not going to go organic, my advice is buy kind of as much, eat as much whole food as you can, like a whole fish, a whole egg, a whole fruit, a whole vegetable, a broccoli, a tomato. If you can grow it yourself, great. Even if tomatoes are growing like crap at the moment, doesn't matter. Eat whole foods. That's the way nature intended it. And like bread, well, I only buy the Bogles, the old traditional one, because all the other ones have got canola oil and soy oil and lecithins and so on and so forth. So if you can just buy the real basic kind of stuff that maybe your grandmother would have eaten, you know, just whole food. And if you're going to eat meat, I mean, I'm not going to make any claims about that, but eat, if you can eat, you know, any kind of thing that you can see, you know, rather than it's been highly processed, you know, processed and hormones or whatever added to it. But in terms of the GMO stuff, if you can eat as much of the whole food, and if you pick up a packet of, say, biscuits, and you look on the back and you've got all these numbers and it's got soy lecithin and soy oil, you're eating some GMO there.
Basically, if it's got ingredients other than just like, you know, potatoes, salt, sugar, you know.
Yeah. If you know, you can get bread, like you can get freshly made bread, also some of the Vogel, and some of those, what do you get, those pita loaf things, you know. And you look on the back, is it Gianni's or something? I'm not promoting anyone over particularly, but have a look on the back, and it might say, some of them it says wheat, salt, yeast, and maybe sugar, and that's it, right? Some of them, you've got about 10 numbers. If it's got 10 numbers on the back, just don't eat it.
If you can't pronounce what's on the back,
don't eat it.
If you can't spell what's on the back, if you don't know what the words connote on the back, if you don't know what those numbers mean, okay? I mean, it's about awareness, isn't
it? This is what I'm saying, but it's basic thing. The company keep coming up with fancy names, and they'll put things like, you know, health, even some of those health bars. I mean, you look at some of them, and the same with these energy drinks, they're kind of trying to promote them as healthy things. But if you actually look on the back on some of them, they're just loaded with sugar.
You know what? I'm now convinced that people don't give a frack about health. I have an idea.
Did you say frack?
I did. And I have an idea for an energy drink, John, that I'd like to share with you. It's called Poison. It's a black can with a skull and crossbones on it. And it has a big warning that says, warning, this energy drink might be hazardous to your health. It would sell like freaking hotcakes. You could sell people cans of Poison at this point, and they will drink it.
I have had that discussion with, you're probably aware of this artificial sweetener called aspartame, which Monsanto was one of their lovely products. Cause I think
which is anything but tame, as was Donald Rumsfeld, who was the CEO of Sara Lee, and... It got that legalized, and then he went and sold chemical weapons to Iraq. Maybe he had job experience selling chemical weapons. Who knows? Well,
there was a story that they sold a lot of these diet, what do they call them, sugar-free diet coats and all those to the soldiers in Iraq. And what they would do is this aspartame, when it heats. Aspartame is genetically engineered as well, but when it's heated, actually a school kid worked this out, you know, a young girl worked this out. When it heats, it breaks down to some really toxic, like formaldehyde and methanol and horrible sort of chemicals, which are brain and neurotoxins. And what you remember the what do they call the guys in Iraq, the soldiers anyway? Okay, so they the veterans anyway out in the desert. They would bring this stuff and they'd leave it in the desert heat. It would produce these neurotoxins. You may remember a lot of these guys got these really weird symptoms like neurological disorders. And there's just, I don't know if it can be proven, but there may be some link because this aspartame really, really is highly toxic.
Well, there's one cause, but then you add on to that all of the Iraqi weapons bunkers that when the US Marines and scout troopers went in there found that all of these chemical weapons and everything said made in the USA on them. The generals decided instead of disposing of all these hazardous airborne chemicals and sarin gas and whatnot, it would be a better idea to just dispose of the evidence by blowing it up and raining it down on our troops.
Yeah, well, I think there's that side of it too, but I think the thing is...
It's cumulative causation.
Oh, of course it is. But the thing is, the reason I mentioned that aspartame is that it is another Monsanto product, a GM. It's derived from that. And it's also, the sad thing about it is people who are overweight take it, but it actually has been proven to put on weight, apart from poison you.
So, yeah, it makes you hungry. Your body starts to crave the sugar because it feels the sweetness.
And so it's good, it's quite good to see now that a number of I've got one at the moment. I use an energy drink that has very few calories and sugar, and it has stevia, just a little bit of stevia in it, which is much better. So you know, I mean, the thing is, when you say these things that you know they put the term healthy, you've just got to really look at it. And if on the back aspartame usually has a number now.
Yeah.
It's called NutraSweet. They keep changing the numbers or the names so that you can't always know. But getting back to my point, I once met this woman. She was drinking some of that stuff, and I said to her, do you realize that stuff is really toxic and it can affect your brain? And she said, I don't care. I don't care. It's too bad.
Have you ever hear Queen playing in your ears, you know, doom, doom, doom? Another one bites the dust.
I just thought, what can I say? You know, maybe it's highly addictive. And I think sometimes some of these foods, these highly processed foods with all these additives and GMOs and what have you.
I'll take MSG, for example, you know.
Well, yeah, I think they all they almost hypersensitize the system until you start craving and wanting more junk.
We have a culture of addiction, eh?
Well, we do, and I think it all feeds off itself, and you just, you know what I mean?
There's nothing productive that comes out of it, basically. It doesn't produce anything good for your body. It doesn't help you be a more productive person. It just slowly destroys you and then keeps you happy in the meantime while you're destroying yourself so that you die eventually and give all your money away to the cancer industry.
But see, the answer here...
I kind of nailed it then. When
you did. I know, they get you all the way through. They tick off the boxes all the way through, you know. But the key, if you want to do that, that's fine. But if you want to do something different, the idea is to, if you go into if you can't afford, you know, first thing, if you can grow your own stuff, great. Second, you know, like make your own bread, you know, grow your own vegetables, fruit. If you like meat, go and, you know, have your animal and bang it. You know, don't you know.
Not in the sheep-shagger sense of the word, ladies and gentlemen.
eat it fresh. That's what I was trying to say. You know,
Again, not in the sexual eat of the word, ladies and gentlemen.
You're getting carried away, dude. You know what I mean.
My bad.
So if you can eat the fresh fruit, and if you're going to a supermarket, just stick to stuff that, you know, as you said, if you look at it and you can't make any head or tail of all the ingredients, then don't eat it. And just be very wary of those kind of so-called health bars or health drinks. You just, you know.
Anything that says healthy or natural, watch out.
The only healthy natural thing is the way nature produced it, which is, you know.
Which doesn't need a brand label, incidentally.
It doesn't need to have that on it. No, it's exactly right.
And also, I mean, incidentally, doesn't need to advertise on television. That's another thing that you should never buy. Anything that is advertised to you on television, including political parties.
Well, you know, as I say, like, I mean, bread, as far as I know, but this is something that always puzzled me, you know, bread. Why does it need all that other stuff in it? Because if someone can make it with wheat, say flour, yeast, salt, and sugar, whatever, you know, why do you have to add 17 ingredients with numbers, you know, that telephone numbers all over it? Why? What's the difference? You know, so maybe it's got less preservative in it, but maybe they want to keep it on the shelf for 6 months. I don't know, but whatever. If you can avoid that, with oils, I prefer, you know, just avoid canola oil, soy oil, because even though they say that it doesn't, the oil, the GM constructs don't come through in the oil, I think the jury's out on that. So I would avoid those anyway, canola
oil. And canola oil's used as an engine lubricant as well, I believe.
It's used in tractors, so don't, rape oil, don't use it. Go for, if you're going to cook, you know, sunflower, rice bran, you know, and use olive oil.
It doesn't sound appetizing in the first place. Do you want me to cook it in rape oil for you?
Rape oil. Yes, well.
The rape oil.
Well, I just, hold on, I've just got to fill the tractor up and then I'll bring some back in. You know, so
it's like the modern food equivalent of the Russian troops draining the antifreeze from the T-38 tanks and huffing it through the gas masks. All right.
Yes, it's. But, well, put it this way: so you the oils that those kind of ones, you know, like I would just avoid soy and canola, or rape oil, as you so aptly put it. Yeah, and I think in New Zealand, I mean, over in the States, they got this dreadful stuff, this corn syrup, and that's what they've done actually in the States. Michelle Obama has come out and said they've agreed to put the calories, the count on foods, but that doesn't really tell you what's in it. I mean, whether it's got GMOs, it's got what sort of chemicals in it. So it's really. And they try and blur the word natural, organic, and just lump all the stuff. But they want to actually include GMOs in organic now. That's what they're trying to do in the States. So, I mean, it's this whole thing of trying to blur things, you know? So people find it very difficult. Oh, what does that mean? Oh, it says it's natural. It says it's, well, it must be. I haven't got time. I've got a screaming kid. I've got to get out of here. I haven't got time to work out this label. I'm just going to take it. It's cheap. Bang. You know? So... it does take a bit of time, but really, those are in New Zealand at the moment. We unless we have to see what happens with this food bill, but we are in a much better position than certainly the States. And let's hope we stay that way and don't become the 51st state of America, because that would probably not be a good thing.
I would argue we already are, and in fact we'll be one state of the Pacific Rim states, which will be called the Oceanic Union or something before long, which the TPPA is creating the economic basic power sharing relationship in order to accommodate that, the exact same way the European Economic Community evolved into the European Union. This will destroy just about every bit of national sovereignty that everybody's got, and along with it, their freedom.
Well, that was the thing I was going to talk to you about, was the TPPA. Because, you see, what happens is, coming back to, you have individuals, right? Individuals make a choice. I'm going to grow my own vegetables. I'm going to try and shop organically. And I'm going to go to the supermarket and check things out. You know, I'm aware of it. That's my intention. Then local communities say, you know, councils say, well, we want to go GMO-free because our growers say that they get a premium for their crops and they don't want it polluted because it will destroy their business, so they decide to do it. Then the central government come along and said, no, you can't do that, buddy. Sorry, we're in charge here. You can't do that. And they try and stop it. Then let's say a national government of a country, say like Chile, Peru, have a moratorium on GE completely. South America is really rocking in that regard. They're doing some good things like standing up to these corporations. But anyway, so in Peru, they do that. What then happens is, this is where the TPPA or these international agreements come in. They say, sorry guys, you cannot do that because you're stuffing around with our bottom line here. And you know, you're saying we can't have it, that affects our business, we're going to sue your proverbial off. So it just steps up another notch. So they go from the central government trying to say no to the local government and individuals, and then the TPPA or trade pacts will effectively stop it. And so even if local councils, or even if the national governments couldn't change the local councils, then this TPPA could come and say, well, no, sorry, you have to grow GE stuff here. So that's really a Trojan horse, and as I say, it's I agree with you. It's it could have a huge influence. And I don't know where it's at the moment, but it's certainly another avenue of concern.
See, it's kind of like a murderer with a weapon. Don't know where it's at, but I do know I don't want it anywhere near me.
Yeah, I just hope that. I mean, again, if there's more awareness about it. I think the whole thing is, you may have heard that expression, you know, growing mushrooms, you keep them in the dark and you feed them manure, right? Have you heard that expression? That's what, so you mushrooms, if you want to grow mushrooms, you keep them in the dark and you feed them manure.
Oh, yeah.
And I think this is the whole thing. They want these companies and so on. They want to keep people in the dark and feed them a whole lot of verbal manure. So it's. But this is the thing. If people need to become aware of it, and that's where if they're kept in the dark, if they don't know about it, well, it's easy. But if it's exposed. Then that's a start, because people then are more aware of it. Hopefully. I mean, I don't, you know.
Just need to awaken the mushrooms to the fact that the people feeding them manure are not fun guys like you.
Fun guys, aha. Uh-huh. What did one mushroom say to the other? You're a fun guy, aren't you? Yeah, that was good. That was quick. You're not a fun guy, yeah. No, these guys are not fun guys at all.
It's a parasite, you know, and in fact... It's not my favourite pronunciation of the word parasite, is with a Scottish accent, you know.
Parasite.
A parasite.
Parasite.
He'll latch onto your brainstem and suck you dry, laddie.
Yeah, right, that's right.
What a son of a bitch.
yes, well, as I say, it's, no, keep him in the dark, no fun at all. So, yeah, that's where that ends, as I say, you know.
Well, it's still ongoing, all right? Yeah. It's in fact, everything's still ongoing. And I'm just wondering about this, like, you know how there's kind of like macro issues going on, yeah. You know, like you and I have different specialities. I mean, yours is GE, mine's exposing scumbaggery and giving platform to people who expose various kinds of scumbaggery, right? And the way I figure it, we're acting like a little kind of sociological cactus, right? Each one of us is a little spine that gives these little fracks a prick to remind them. And for every one of us, there's a different issue. So in a way, the human race has actually managing to hold off this scumbaggery to a large extent because unbeknownst to us, we're actually all kind of working in concert. We're all working for the same goals against the same enemy. And I think the fact that we're not even aware of all of those around us who think like we do is going to be a very big surprise one day. I recall hearing a story about a guy who was voting Ron Paul in the US election, you know, fiscal conservatives, really, really big heyday of the Patriots movement, exposing the, constitutional infringements with the Patriot Act and so on and so forth. And he stood up to vote for him one time, you know, they had a wee little hands vote about which candidate their particular group was going to support that year. And it turned out like about 8 out of 10 people voted Ron Paul, and none of them knew that there was another Ron Paul supporter in the room. You know? And I hope that'll be like one day, is, you know, it's just somebody will call out in the middle of a big political conference, who thinks that both these big political parties are just paid corporate scum that are here taking over our country and selling out our freedoms to these foreign interests? The whole crowd just goes, yeah.
Yeah.
Why are we still listening to them?
I think it's this, like you call it, tipping points or the 100th monkey and a phase transition where it seems, you see, the way I look at it is, it's like, if you look at the GE thing, it's like it's got to come out first of all. And it may seem really, like, when it comes out, you think, oh, my God, that is terrible. This is just so unbelievably awful. But then it's got to come out. And then once it comes out, then something new can take place. And you sometimes think, you know, that it all seems too much. But as you say, I think there is a groundswell. And I think that the number one thing that will crack this is having more light and awareness. And you know what I mean? Because it's just somehow there's a like a quantum shift, and bang, like you've heard of the 100 monkey thing, you know, like you're talking about, they did, what did they do? They all invented something at
the telescope was invented, yeah, by telescope. 9 people, yeah.
There's a some sort of thing where you get it like a transition from suddenly, and the whole thing just becomes
transmission, don't you mean?
Yeah, it's just like it's a change. It's all about consciousness, you know, that suddenly it'll change, group consciousness will change, and it'll switch.
Mm.
And it becomes self-evident. It won't be, and as I say, these guys work on the ones that are, you know, running the show or think they're running the show, work on a, in my belief, more of a secretive kind of level. They want to keep it that way. In the dark, but it has to come out in the light. You know, like if you've got a dirty garage and you just leave it and it's fine, you know, but then you say, I'm going to clean this thing out. I'm going to find it. I want to find out what's in there. So you're doing all this dust goes everywhere and it's a mess and you think, oh my God, this is terrible and there's rats and everything, but you have to clean it out in order to find out what's there and change it, because otherwise you just put it there and say, oh, forget about it. I don't want to look at it.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of, that gives me hope in that more people are awakening and if more people, every time I, you know, I go and I do these sea swims and other things and I see all these people getting out there and they're enjoying themselves and having exercise or they're, you know, eating good foods and, you know what I mean, it's like organics is really taking off, you know, like, if you think about it, in gyms, those are signs that people are thinking, I'm going to look after myself, I'm going to become stronger, I'm going to become more healthy, and then start making better choices. I think that's, you know, you've got to look at trends. You know, it's easy to look at a spot in time and say, the whole thing looks terrible, but you look at trends over time, I think we're moving in the right direction, and that's what gives me some hope, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I kind of gave up on the whole idea of hope per se. Like, I've decided that in some cases, in lieu of hope, denial's quite useful. for instance, somebody said that, oh, Comet Elenin's going to hit the Earth and there's going to be like 900 kilometer an hour winds.
We're in Wellington.
It is.
We've already had them.
That's daily. And
it was just before. It's just eased off. Anyway.
Wellington sucks, bro. I hate it down there. Oh, my God. Blowhard politicians aren't bad enough, you got the blowhard wind that just won't shut off.
No, well, all the ones that are the blowhards come from Auckland. They're on the top of the beehive. But I'll tell you what, it's a great secret down here. When it's a nice day, you can't beat it. And so we like to let Aucklanders know that it's always rubbish up there, so they stay up there, you see. So that's the reason. No disrespect to yourself, Lenny, but it's a secret. So
if you say so.
Get back to the 900-kilometre winds.
Right. And so I got through all of these different doomsday predictions, you know, the 2012s, the Y2Ks, the terrorism and the blah, 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 blah. You know what I figured out, bro? It's actually detrimental to think about the end of the world like it's going to happen. So, because it causes stress, and stress causes illness, and illness causes death. So, you'll be stressing out about the end of the world so much that by stressing out about it, you'll kill yourself before the end comes. Ergo, in the case of catastrophic emergency, deny, deny, deny. Clinton had it right.
Well, what do they say? What you put your attention on, you know, grow what becomes. You know, so if you put it, thinking all about the end of the world, then it will be the end of the world. You know, for you.
I don't know. I could be thinking about having a 12-inch stick of gold. Yes, I want, and that 12-inch stick of gold would never come into my hands.
Well, it may not. But I think it is.
There are limits to what we can do.
Yeah,
you know.
I think the thing is if you is to see that there are some good things going on. There's some good people working away here. There's more awareness, and hopefully more people are starting to just to see. I mean, it does amaze me that, as I say, I said to you before, how many people know about the food bill? How many people know about TPPA? How many people know that our food minister has just food safety, I use that word in quotes, minister has just said, I'm okay with 4 million Kiwis eating Agent Orange corn and soya. I'm very happy with that. There's no problem. So how many people know that? And I think the people really knew that up on the beehive they were signing off, Agent Orange corn.
Goodness knows what they're signing off. They're doing 2 bills a day, last I heard.
Yeah, well, who knows? They're signing off this, that, and the other. If people really knew... I mean, it's so hard to keep up, but I'm just saying, that's the thing, awareness, everything. And working by stealth, working just the old little chip away here, just take that off here, just do that. So, as I say, just getting that out there, that's, to me, is the very... that's number one, anyway.
Well, somebody asked me once how I can keep doing what I'm doing, you know, knowing what I know and knowing how bad things are. Yeah. And I said, well, basically, I've resigned myself to the inevitable failure. I assume that I'm going to fail and I'm going to die and everything's going to end in tyranny. However, that even motivates me even more because it means even if I'm correct about failing, I will spend the entirety of the rest of my life doing the right thing and can die with a good conscience.
Well, that's true because I think at the end of the day, they say that all it takes for evil to prevail is for good people to do nothing. And, at the end of the day when I'm about to sort of, be taken off in a box, I'd like to look back and think, well, you know, I wasn't here just to line my, I can't take any of this money with me, but I can take the thought that I stood up for, my own health and my family and my country, you know. And that's, ultimately, that's a motivation for me, to keep working on this because it takes time and a lot of energy, like it's been doing 15 years, and I'm thinking to myself, I just want to enjoy life too, and why should I? This sometimes bugs me. I'll go along to these parliament meetings and these people getting paid vast sums of money to, in quote, look after us, unquote. And here I am taking time out from my business you know, 2-3 hours, whatever, with other people of like-minded, not getting paid for anything, I'm doing their job. And I'm thinking, why is that? Why am I doing their job? They should be doing this, you know? But you do it because, well, if you don't do it, who's going to do it, you know?
You describing the exact realization that occurred to me when I decided to become New Zealand's alternative media. If I don't do it, nobody will. And sure enough, nobody has yet.
Well, kia kaha, because you're the Alex Jones of New Zealand. And
I'd prefer people to know Alex Jones as the Vinnie Eastwood of America.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, you know, I've got to pander to you a bit there, but...
Well, as long as it's not a red panda.
I mean, the thing is, yeah, you kind of, at the end of the day, I sometimes wonder, you could sell your soul for a dime and work in these, get a high position, a lot of money, but if in the process you poison, destroyed a whole lot of your country, and that includes some of your own whānau or people you know, then what's the point? And to me, we're all in this together, and we're all breathing this air, eating this food, drinking this water. They're basic rights, and to me, no, so that's why I keep doing it. And as I say, there's many other good people doing it.
Yeah,
get their spare time.
You find if you're doing something that actually means something, is actually good for things, it'll actually attract the kind of people that you do want to hang out with, because it's kind of like in the positions that we're in, we don't actually have any real power to wield over people. We can't. And so naturally it attracts people that don't want to wield power over people. Parliament, on the other hand, has the exact opposite effect. It gives people, it offers up positions where you can hold power over people. So guess which kind of people it attracts?
Control freaks.
Uh-huh. Who are, on the whole, in a lot of cases, freaking psychopaths who don't care about anybody.
Well, you see, I the thing is, I've worked out that I can't control anyone else or anything. I can only do, all I can do is change the way I do things. And it, to me, the other thing is you can get very fearful. And when I first heard about GMOs, I got very fearful. I thought, my God, this is horrendous. I mean, are we for real? This stuff could just take out the whole world. You know, it could completely destroy it. So you can give into the fear, but I think that's important to acknowledge that it's, you know, you go through that thing you said, the coping thing with the kind of the fear and just the sort of, wow, these guys are just out to, you know, they do anything to make money and destroy everything in the process, including themselves. You then you work from the fear and say, well, okay, don't work on the other side of it and just act and with that kind of positive, almost like you were saying, in a sense, have that kind of, not easy going, but don't get too caught up with it. Just say, okay, look, I can't change the world, but I can change what I do, and I'll do what I'll do, which is true to myself, and go from there, and do what's right for you. And if everyone, you know, everyone is, everything starts with the individual, so you've got to just work as an individual.
I feel sorry for those of us that get into these kind of positions and predicaments fighting the system and then get, well, basically they lose the battle with themselves, and in so doing they can't fight the system anymore, so they kind of become negative and they completely withdraw. They just don't want to hear about it anymore.
Well, I've noticed that. I mean, I've been, as I say, with the G3, and I've got a lot of other interests, but it's my thing. I could do all sorts of things, but I thought, no, I'll do this, but I have to pace myself, and I tell you, I pace myself, right?
Mm.
So I say, no, I'm not going to this. I'm not going to, because it makes me feel too tired and drained. I'm not going to do it, because it's very important that you just you need to allocate, and you've got to have some fun. You've got to have a sense of humor, because you've got to look after yourself. Because as you say, it's like you're in a war zone, you know, and you need to sort of look after yourself first and foremost, because if you get too tired or too down with it all, then you're no good. You're heading to the, you know,
Oh, you become the very enemy you wanted to fight against in the first place, isn't it? You know,
yeah,
exactly. I was interviewing this American talk show host, been in the game like 15 years, really good guy, Jack Blood, and I asked him, so Jack, you know, you've been in this gig for so long, I mean, how did you prevent yourself from becoming like some form of douchebag, you know, with all the accolades and all the fans and everything? And he goes, well, it's pretty simple. Number one, drink. If I didn't drink, I would have gone completely nuts. And two, take the money. If somebody offers you money because you're doing the right thing and they're not obligating you, they're not telling you to start lying and compromising your morals and ethics and something like that, don't be a bash and go, no, you know, keep it, you know, I don't want to have anything. Just take the frickin' money, okay? You could use that. There's fuel, there's food, there's something you need in order to fuel yourself in order to expose even more quantitative amounts of scumbaggery.
Yeah, well, you do. You need to keep going. And the basic thing is you need money to live. But it's you don't need $1 billion, but you need money to live. It's a necessity. So you've got to live. You know, you can't unless you're in a position where you can afford to do it, which is not a lot of people. You know.
Speaking of living, John, we're coming up to the end of the second hour. Do you want to finish your point and then take a break and then come back for another hour, or are you done for the night?
Well, I'm good. It's up to you, really. I think
I'm so totally keen to give you another hour, bro.
Well, how about I just take a little intermission, and maybe we could do them another half hour or so. Would that work for you?
All right, no problem.
Yeah, I'll just have a brief. Are you going to stay on? You'll stay on? Or
yeah.
Okay.
Well, so let's stop it there for the moment. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We've kind of skipped the first hour break. It doesn't really matter, though, does it? And we'll be right back after a wee, you know, coffee and so on and so forth. God, I'm tired. I sound like I'm barely even putting words together here. Go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Please make a donation, okay? The work that I do is long, it is hard, I get tired, I stay up nights and so on and so forth, just to make sure that the information from people like John and many other researchers who talk about things that mainstream media will laugh at you at and demonize you for and destroy your life because of get some of the coverage that they deserve. If you're incapable of doing that, if you're incapable of helping all of these activists and all of these people who are giving up their lives in order to save yours, if you can't do it because you've got to provide for your family and you have a few extra bucks, give it to me. I will fight in your stead. Please go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and donate today. Preferably start up an automatic payment so that you're sending in a couple of bucks each month. All I ask is what you can give. And if you can't feed your family, if you can't pay your rent and so on and so forth, do not donate. Take care of yourself before you start taking care of other people. Don't make my mistake. We'll be right back, folks.